Good afternoon. How are you? So praise the Lord, we have a freezing week. Yeah. And also praise the Lord, we're still here. We're healthy, we're strong, and we're happy to listen to his word. So today, we're talking about the part in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34. So the treasures in heaven. Sorry, do I have the remote of this, or you are going, you're doing this for me? That's okay.
I'm in control.
Yeah, thanks. So next slide, please. So, economist John Kenneth Galbraith, he says, money is a singular thing. It ranks with love as man's greatest source of joy, and with death as his greatest source of anxiety. So that gives a great value to the money. So next slide, please. Okay, this guy is, thank you. His name is Robert Kiyosaki. He's the author of Rich Dad and Poor Dad. Well, recently, I have attended a session held by the group belongs to him. So this group talked about how to invest the money. And their strategy is creating a passive income for everyone. So have you heard about passive income? So our incomes could be from two different sources. One is the active income, which is from our job. And the other one is the passive income. Passive income is the earnings from the investments in which we are not actively involved. So it could be earned by investing the properties or shares, bonds, limited partnership, or other enterprises. So it doesn't take us much time to look after it. Sorry. So everybody could create the passive income while we are still working. So if, like Holland, if you make a lot of money from your job, then congrats, you probably don't need a passive income. You don't have to worry about your life in the future. But if you feel a little bit struggle and you need to think more about your retired life, then this group suggests everyone there, we should create a passive income. That might be a good option for us. So this is how he says, he says that don't work for money, that's the active income. He said make it work for you, and that's the passive income. Okay, it sounds brilliant. And then they talk about a concept, it's financially freedom. Okay, so financially freedom means your passive income could replace your active income. So if you are financially free, you don't have to work. You don't have to work, but you could have a very cool, very good lifestyle. So this whole session, they are selling this. Everyone could be financially free in 10 years or even less if you create a passive income from now. So they are teaching everyone there how to do this safely and quickly. So they said they have plenty of ways and strategies to increase the profit and prevent the loss, to reduce the risk of to the lowest level. So when I was there, I could feel that everyone is so excited. So it is possible for me, for Millie, that we could retire in less than 10 years. So when the guy was there, he was shouting, "Do you want to be rich?" And everybody said, "Yes!" You know, "Do you want to be wealthy? Do you want to make more money? Yes!" You know, everybody was clapping hands, Do you want to retire earlier? Yes. Do you want to be financially free? Yes. You know, it sounds so good. But is that real? I don't know. When I was, you know, doubting all these things, then he said, now you got a chance. You could be financially free if you join the advanced training session. And that only takes you 1,000 pounds. So you could, you know, I didn't join. Well, the first reason is it is too expensive. You know, I bankrupt myself before I make money. And then the second reason is it's hard to believe that this is so easy. They taught us we could borrow money from some groups, from some banks. You know, we don't have to use our own money to do the investments. This is too good to be true. So, well, as usual, I check Trustpilot to see their review. Guess what I found? Not very good. You know, so I left without buying anything. Okay, so I don't know, how about you? How do you feel about your money? How do you think about your money? Well, some people think that money is good. It drives us to improve our life, to get a better life quality. Some people think money is bad. Okay, it produces more conflicts and, you know, more desires, which could corrupt us. Especially Christians, we are in a big conflict and struggling. Our responsibility is to understand money from the biblical view, because the reality is we work 5 days a week to earn money, right? Money matters. And the reality is we save our money in the bank for the future needs. So if we don't know what God thinks about money, I'm afraid we could never find the balance of our life. We either become all about money, you know, or we just deny the importance of it. So the world, you know, this world is full of the teachings of investing your money or investing your future, but only in this life. There is only one book teaches how to invest beyond the grave. So we are all holding this book, the Bible. We have His word. And you know what? God talks about money. In fact, Jesus talks about more money than anything else in the Bible, except the kingdom of God. Okay, except the kingdom of God. And do you know there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible talking about money? And in 39 parables Jesus talks about, 11 of them are about money. So that's more than 28%. And do you know Jesus talks about the investment of the future? That's a good news. So today we're looking at the passage. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34, if you will. And I'll read it for you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is God's word. So here, Jesus gives us a clear command. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth. Well, the good news is Jesus, he encourages us to invest, right? So Jesus says, the currency here is terrible. You know, if you invest here, you're going to bankrupt yourself in a not too distant future. He encouraged us to find a good currency such that we could transfer our money into an internal bank account. So our question is, how do we do that? Because if investing here is a stupid idea, then this is terrible news, right? I believe everybody invests. We might save our money in the bank, or we buy stocks, we buy properties, we run our business. We earn the money and we manage it. So if Jesus says, this is not going to work, then this can't be good. So we have to think about this. I think what Jesus says here is not saying we can't have money on earth, or we can be rich or wealthy on earth. But we need to know, if we are all about money, then we will get into trouble. Why? Because money is not reliable. Jesus says there are thieves, moths, and vermin. They will destroy, they will steal our money. Those things represent the danger. Like in the past 40 years, we have more than 8 worldwide financial crises. We have seen many wealthy people, they lose everything in just a few days. Many big companies, they lost money. So on top of that, we've seen frauds and scams everywhere. You know, sorry. Ooh, that's okay. Yeah, something like that. So where am I? Okay, so lots of people have been deceived and lost their money. If we count on our money, then if we feel safe because we have enough money, then probably we are deceived as well. So what Jesus says is that earth is not an eternal place for storing up our treasures, our money. Heaven is. That's great. So I know there is a perfect place to put my money in, to put my treasure in, but still we have a question. How do we transfer our money from here to there? We'll come back to this question later. So, I always push the wrong button, sorry. So then Jesus talks about the eye. He says that the eye could be healthy or not. Why he turns to talk about the eye? Let's look at the two key words here. One is healthy, the other one is unhealthy. The Greek for healthy here implies generous. Unhealthy here implies stingy. Okay, so actually he's not talking about the eye. He's talking about our attitudes toward money. So when we are generous with our money, which means we use our money to help other people, to build other people, and then our whole body will be full of light. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, He is the light of the world. Our body is full of light means we are walking with Jesus. So, if we are stingy, then the darkness comes. So our body will be full of darkness. So who are we walking with? So I think here, Jesus is saying no matter we are wealthy or not, the point is our attitude towards money. We could be, you know, very wealthy, but very stingy. But we also can be not quite wealthy, but very generous. That decides our fate. Ah, I'm right. Okay, so then Jesus talked about the two masters. So this is making everything clearer. We can't serve two masters. You either hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. What is Jesus talking about here? No gray area. We don't like this idea, right? We love gray area. But here, Jesus says, if we love money, we hate God. That sounds very serious. I believe all of us, we understand our Lord is not money. Jesus is our Lord. We all understand this. But the thing is, we might concern money too much. We start to go into the gray area. When God wants us to, He wants to use our money for His will, He wants to manage our money. When He wants to instruct us how to use our money, we could refuse Him. We could decline Him. We don't want to devote our money. And then we are in that gray area. We will say that, you know, God, yes, You are my Lord, but this is my money. Okay? So, we need to remember, if Jesus, He is the Lord, then He must be the Lord of everything in my life, including my money. So, there is a story in, let me see, Matthew chapter 19. The story is talking about the rich young man. He asked Jesus, if you want to check it, it's the verse 16 to 26. So this young man, rich young man, he came to Jesus. He asked him how to inherit the eternal life. Then Jesus answers him that, obey God's commands. All right, the young man says, no problem. All these I have kept since I was young. Amazing. Then the Lord says, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And then come to follow me. Then what happened? This rich young man, he went away sadly because he had great wealth. What has Jesus done? Jesus challenges his gray area. I believe this young man, he is extraordinary, right? He's wealthy, he's religious, he's godly, he honors his parents, he loves his neighbors, he's almost blameless. He has only one problem. His Lord is not Jesus. And that's a big problem. He asked Jesus the question, what should I do to earn the eternal life? That he's doing a business with Jesus. But Jesus says, no, you're asking the wrong question. The true question you're asking is, who is your Lord? You have no fellowship with me. Your money is your God. So Jesus says, stop all these religious things. One thing you need to do, sell everything which might possible to block the relationship between you and me. Sell your money, you know, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and now there's only you and me. Come to follow me. So I think that this result is sad, but that is so true. We can't serve two masters. In the Old Testament, God asked his people to tithe 1/10 of the personal income. God claims that 1/10 actually is not offering because your 1/10 belongs to God. If his people refuse to tithe, they became the robbers who rob from God. In the New Testament, we are not under the law of tithing 1/10. But we do more. We present our body as a living sacrifice. That's not 10%. That's 100%. So since we have offered our body, why not our money? Is our money more important than our body? I think by his grace, we could tithe more than 1/10, offer more than 1/10. And I believe this is the investment in heaven. To store up our treasures in heaven means we prepare ourselves ready to do God's will with everything, including our money. It is not our money anymore. It belongs to God. If we want to be a successful investor, we let God come into our life and manage everything into our life, including our money. Sorry, I should show this picture first. So you can see that he left sadly. His head get bigger. You know, and then Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Well, every time when we see therefore, it means the following. This following passage relates to the previous passages. Jesus said, we can't serve two masters. And then he said, therefore, do not worry. Okay, so that tells us one thing. Worry reveals our true situation. If we worry about what we eat, what we drink, what do we wear all the time? Well, apparently, we are not serving Jesus. The people Jesus was talking with at the time, they are quite different from us. They are very poor people. Most of them, really, they were struggling with only food and clothes. These are all very basic needs. So that's why they are worrying. And then they don't know, you know, they don't know where their next meal is or where to sleep tonight. But what about us? According to Bible standard, we all belong to wealthy people. We don't have to worry about food and clothes. So we're not supposed to like them, right? To be like them. However, I'm afraid we're still prone to worry about money. We are still doing the same thing. I'm afraid if we don't have enough, we worry about how to make it. If we have plenty, we worry about how to keep it, how to use it. Or we just, you know, we worry because we want to have more. So I want to talk about our brain. That's a big jump. Yeah. So there are two different parts in our brain. One is called the frontal lobe, which is here. Can I use this as a pointer? Yeah, no. Okay. And the other one, the frontal lobe, which dominates our rational thinking. The other part is limbic system, which dominates the emotional thinking. So frontal lobe help us to analyze everything rationally, give us a reasonable conclusion or, you know, solution. If you want to buy a mobile phone, but you don't really have that much money, and you have to pay for your rent in the end of this month. So your frontal lobe will tell you, you know, not having the latest iPhone is not a big deal. You know, you have something which is more important. But however, your limbic is completely different. Your limbic is sensitive and is emotional. Your limbic will tell you that this new iPhone is fantastic. You have to buy it. The camera is beautiful, you know, really? And if you don't get it, your life will be a mess. You'll be so inconvenient. You should get it. That's how your limbic works. So, guess which part makes us worry? Limbic, okay? Two page again. So, for example, Alex is not here. That's a shame. When you're sitting in a busy coffee shop alone, you know, enjoying your coffee and you're reading a book, all of a sudden a stranger comes to your table and sit down. Then you may feel that your space has been invaded. Okay? So your frontal lobe will tell you, that's fine. That seat is empty. You could share your seat with that guy. But your limbic will make you unhappy. Your limbic will tell you, you better leave right now because this guy is going to ruin your happiness. Or one day in the church, Alex comes to you and asks, if you could preach next Sunday, you know, and then your limbic will tell you, run, stop talking with him, you know? That emotional feeling is always stronger than rational thinking. And the emotion is controlled by our limbic system, which tries to protect us and help us to escape from any uncomfortable situation or just satisfy anything we want, anything we need. So that caused the worry and anxiety. Have you found that actually worry, anxiety, actually they are all biological functions. And they are created by God. All these things are embedded in our bodies. So God gave us these functions to survive difficult situations. Okay, to be away from danger, to protect ourselves. So we have big problems. Jesus asks us, do not worry. And he gave us four reasons why we shouldn't worry. The first reason, Jesus says, is the core of life concerns much more than our basic needs. So if we only think about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, then we just become the slaves of the material life. The danger is we might forget the fellowship with God, and we might forget the people around us, and we might forget our soul, our spirit. They are much more important. So remember, the unhealthy eye leads us into the darkness. So worry doesn't help us to understand God's will. It doesn't help us to walk with God. It only distracts us. The second point is worry doesn't do any good. So there is a research says 40% of our worries are about the things that never happen. 30% of our worries concern things in the past which can be changed. 12% of our worries concerns the health, and it's needless to worry about it. And only 8% deal with the legitimate issues. So that's less than 8% of worry really works. So Jesus told us worry doesn't get us grow taller. It doesn't make our life longer. In the opposite, we know the power of worry, right? Worry might make everything worse. If we worry too much, you could fail the test driving. Sorry. And you could, you know, is this recorded? And you could have a bad relationship with your children if you worry about them too much. And your sickness will be more severe if you worry about them too much. The third reason Jesus said we shouldn't worry is God is looking after us even when we're not aware of it. I believe a lot of us has this experience. Jesus gives us two examples, birds in the air and flowers in the field. Birds do not store food in the barn. That means they don't plan for their future. The flowers, they're worthless. One of its functions is to be burned, to give us fire. However, God feeds the birds and he decorates the flowers. They are not as valuable as us. They don't need to worry. Why people are so keen on good food, fancy clothes? Actually, this is not only about food and clothes. That represents almost everything. Desires, cars, house, job, personal achievements. So that increase our self-esteem levels. We sometimes are misled by these. We focus too much on them. So we are confused by what we need and what we want. So if you have children, then you must know, probably not tougher, but you know, you must know what they need and what they want are quite different. You know, if you satisfy what they need all the time, that's fine. But if you satisfy what they want all the time, you're getting into big trouble. So God provides us what we need. That's his promise. But he never promised to satisfy our desire. The fourth reason Jesus said we shouldn't worry is worry corrupts our faith. We worry because we doubt that God truly cares about us. We worry because we don't know who God is and who we are. We worry because we try to be independent from God. So when worry comes in, our faith goes away. In Romans chapter 14, it says, everything does not come with faith. is sin. So you might ask, well, since Jesus doesn't want us to worry, why he gives us this biological function? It doesn't make any sense. Well, I think it does. We don't know what courage is if we are not scared. Okay, we don't know what faith is if we do not worry. So our weakness drives us to seek God's help. Worry is spontaneous, but God says we could control it. So keep worrying is a wrong attitude. We need to stop it and turn to God, ask for help, and he will help us. So worry actually brings us back to God to help us to trust him, to rely on him, and then worry could help us to enjoy the fellowship with God. So, we know we can't serve two masters. We shouldn't keep worrying. You know, we know the rules, but how do we do it? How do we do it? What is the solution? Praise the Lord. Jesus gives us the answer. The answer is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So I believe the whole sermon Jesus preached on the Mount is talking about God's kingdom and his righteousness. When we have his words and we obey his words, follow his commands, we're loving God, we're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. This is not saying our daily life and needs are not important, but this is putting God as our first priority. The best way to stop worrying is to have this correct order. We could replace our worry by prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is exactly tell us this correct order. So I hope you still remember Holland's preaching 2 weeks ago. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means God's word should be trusted. And he's faithful. He's looking after us. We don't need to worry. And then your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are his people. If we worry all the time, so we are exactly the same with the people in the darkness. And we can be the testimony of God. When we are full of faith, we trust God, then his kingdom is coming into this world. His glory and his righteousness shine before this world. So we have to remember there is a promise here. The promise is if we prioritize our life, we do the right thing, we have the correct order, then not only his kingdom and his righteousness, but everything I need, everything we need will be given to us. This is a conditional promise. There is an if. If we do our part, God does his part. We need to cooperate with him. So I want to say, we are God's people. We don't need to worry about our basic needs like pagans. God's people know that everything they need will be provided by their God. And our heart is not here. Our heart is in heaven because our treasure is there. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious words. And we recognize that we are struggling with our life. And we know that sometimes we are worried and anxious. Father, help us to understand your teaching and not only just understand, but also practice it in our life. Help us to devote our money to you. Help us to remember you are good, you're faithful, and you love us so much. You gave us your only begotten Son, Jesus. So there's no need to worry when we put everything in your hands. And we are truly financially free when we start to store up our treasure in heaven. Thank you, Father, for listening to our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.